So, I want you to say a little prayer with me. Say, Father, I thank you that I have eyes to see, ears that hear, and a heart that perceives what you're trying to show me, and to guide me. Amen. So we're going to Hebrews chapter 1, because that was the press today. And one very important point. I spoke to you about Genesis a little while back, and how God said to the earth to bring forth fruit. And vegetation happened. He looked at the waters below, and he spoke, and it produced fish of all different types. He also produced animals. Then he looked into the heavens, and he declared that it will produce, and that was the birds that came. So where was his focus when he decided to create man?
Where was his focus?
Yeah, was he looking at the earth? Was he looking at the sky? Was he looking at the waters? Or what was he looking at?
Said in our image.
Yes.
You go.
He looked to himself to create his best product, man. Okay? And I've shared with you before one of the things that God had begun to show me years ago. Before I knew any of the theology of different religious backgrounds and denominations and whatever. And he had showed me my Angora cat that when I was a boy, how gorgeous that cat was. And he reminded me, and I had this discussion with my wife this weekend because we happened to be talking about animals, and all of a sudden I said, well, you know, I'm going to remind you that God uses everything. And the verse that I want you to see first is verse 3. Because you see, an Angora cat has incredible fur, so does Sylvester, but this one was all white, the one that I had. And the Lord said that the animal was decorated and dressed from the inside out. Why did Adam and Eve not see themselves as naked until after they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil?
Because they hadn't sinned.
They didn't know evil.
They what?
They didn't know evil.
They didn't know evil. Okay. Yes?
They weren't looking at the outside of themselves. They were seeing the inside.
Close.
They were
clothed with God's glory, just like God's glory is, they weren't naked. They had much better than Angora fur. They were radiating what?
Light.
You got it. Wow. You know what? There's some smart twins around. Verse 3, he is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being, the outraying of the divine, and he is the perfect imprint and very image of God's nature, upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe, his might by his mighty word of power. Isn't that cool? When Jesus went on the mountain, he brought Peter, James, and John, and he cried out to be clothed with what he had before. He entered this realm. He was forecasting a picture of his return. And God has been working at recreating the failure of Adam and Eve ever since. Their failure. Yes or no? Where Adam and Eve failed, Jesus did not. He succeeded. Amen? So, tomorrow, God says, time's up. You're all done waiting. I'm returning you to your former glory. What's going to happen?
I'm going to be radiating light.
Yeah! You're going to be a child of?
Light.
You're going to be light beings. That's what the word says. Everything that was stolen will be what?
Restored.
What happened to Adam and Eve when they decided to go with the nature of the animals and with the knowledge of good and evil? That's what they chose. And God respected their decision, but we've been paying ever since. Amen? Now, was there two trees in the garden?
Yes. Yeah.
Really? One was called the tree of
life.
Yeah. And the other one was called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It was one tree, not three.
Wait a minute. It was one tree?
One tree, the tree of life. The other tree was the tree of knowledge of good and the knowledge of evil. For many years, I never connected those dots until somebody wrote a book. Rick Joyner. I'm eternally grateful for that man of God who wrote that book because it changed my life. It changed my perspective. Because I thought good was God. And evil was demonic. Never realizing that the knowledge of good and the knowledge of evil are one and the same tree. So when you think you're doing good, you could be under the demonic umbrella. Because you're doing it out of your soul. Oh. I might end up in a corner, but it's okay.
Yeah, I feel it coming.
The bottom line that I'm trying to give you is don't trust just because you think it's good that it's going to be God. Ah. In fact, there's a young man that was on, I'm trying to think of his name, he wrote The Bait of Satan.
Oh, John Bevere.
Yeah. John Bevere just wrote a new book.
Good or God?
Good or God. I'm positive it's going to be a good book. Good or God? Same picture of the knowledge of good and evil. Why am I bringing this out? Because again, Jesus is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being, the outraying of the divine, and he is the perfect imprint and the very image of God's nature, upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by his mighty word of power. When he had, by offering himself, accomplished our cleansing of sins, with an S, and riddance of guilt. Woo! Whoa! Riddance of what?
Guilt.
You mean to tell me when he wiped out your sins, he also wiped out your guilt? So if he took care of your guilt and you're still walking in guilt, what are you doing? You're listening to who? The tree of the knowledge of? Yeah. So that's awakening, hopefully, inside of you and me. Something that will wake us up to the reality, we better check with Holy Spirit. Because who's got the counsel? Holy Spirit. Who's got the revelation? And why is he resident in you and me? Just to warm your belly? No.
We can't do it without him.
We can't do it without him. He is that river of life that will flood the place if and when we're ready. And he's ready to pour it out. That's what this vision was all about, girl. Vision received 11:8 by Holy Spirit. The bishop type chairs was in the center of the altar with the crown on the point of the chairs. The other six chairs were lined up, four on one side and three on the other. On the seat of the chair was a sword standing in the corner and a Bible in the center, which is the word. Coming from the left was a flow of water which flowed over all the chairs and down the sides. Holy Spirit. The elf-type shoes in front of the chairs were floating on the water, and all the chairs appeared to be floating on the water. The more the water flowed down the sides in front of all of this were flowers blooming. Wow. What's coming? A flood. When the enemy comes in with a flood? No. When the enemy comes in,
like a flood.
Who comes in? The Holy Ghost. So, what am I trying to make you see tonight? He knows that we are about to be restored. Corporately. You're not going to be restored on your own. You're going to be restored corporately. You're going to be restored to the fullness of what God had planned originally. You were a part of the body in the heavens before you entered this realm. That's why some of you don't fit the family. It's the truth. Yes or no? Okay. By the way, God specializes in rejects. Yes?
Yes.
Why? Because they're formed in the difficulties of life. What I shared with you earlier about my background. I didn't make the choice. I just went for the ride. Some of you didn't make the choice. You went for the ride, and you're still on the ride. So the exciting thing is, he took care of our cleansing of sin and riddance of guilt. He sat down at the right hand of the divine majesty on high, taking a place and rank by which he himself became as much superior to angels as the glorious name or title which he has inherited is different from and more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." That is, established you in an official sonship relation with kingly dignity. I love that part. That's why there's crowns on those chairs. And again, I will be to him a father, and he will be to me a son. So now, male or female, you're going to be sons. Why do you think the earth is raging? And the people in the earth are raging because the enemy knows his time is short. And every day it gets a little bit shorter. And the Lord says to us, when you see all these things happening, look up. For your deliverance, getting closer every day. Every single day. And yes, there's pressure. And I'm not trying to deny that there isn't any pressure. There is pressure. It's not comfortable. Verse 6, moreover, when he brings the firstborn son again into the hospitable world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. Referring to the angels, he says, who makes his angels winds and his ministering servants flames of fire? Psalms 104, verse 4. But as to the Son, he says to him, your throne, O God, is forever and ever to the ages of the ages. And the scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of absolute righteousness, of justice and straightforwardness. You have loved righteousness. You have delighted in integrity, virtue, and uprightness in the purpose, thoughts, and action. And you have hated lawlessness, injustice, and iniquity. Therefore God, even your God, Godhead, has anointed you with the oil of exultant joy and gladness above and beyond your companions. And further, you, Lord, did lay the foundations of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you remain, and continue permanently. They will all grow old and wear out like a garment, like a mantle thrown about oneself. You will roll them up, and they will be changed and replaced by others. Don't you love that part? But you remain the same, and your years will never end nor come to failure. So all those who teach about the end of the age coming to a crisis and so on and so forth, check it out. See if they're on target with God's word. Okay? His plan is restoration. His plan from the beginning was recreation. His plan is to take everything that was stolen and what? Capitalize on it. And give back 70 times more.
Woo!
So what are you up to? Wherever you are in your journey with him, the purpose is to see that he is about to close his creation with his glory again. And when he does, it will definitely shake the political system and the nations of the world. I remember when this church was formed and I wanted to shorten up the name, make it comfortable. And there was one that said, uh-uh. And they said, For All Nations has got to stay. And I went to bed that night, Lord, do you really want the house of prayer for all nations? He said, yes. And obviously, if most of you may not remember, but I do, when we tried to register it online, House of Prayer for All Nations was already taken. So I thought, oh, well, we goofed. So we started to pray again. And the next day, the Lord said, the House of Prayer, or the House of Prayer, making it unique. So I called back my friend and I said, try the House of Prayer. He says, like what? I said, well, T-H-E. Oh, okay.
calls me back an hour later. We're registered. For All Nations is on there too. Incorporated when we incorporated. Why? Because God has a plan for the nations. And this house is in its foundational place, working by the Holy Ghost to get us where we need to become. When He's ready, He'll fill the place. Bow your heads. You've got enough ammunition now to take you through the night. Father, I give you praise for this word tonight. Confirm it to each one.
Yes.
Make it real to each one.
Make it so that it's solid in their hearts that this word is your word. And it will not return void, but it will produce mighty grace and peace. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.